Matthew 13, I want to begin reading in verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So my heart looked back into verse 3, where he says, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. During the planting season of the year, all the sower does is give out. Now, the harvest will come later, but during the sowing time, all he does is give out, sow. And I want to try to preach this evening on giving, living. Giving, living. We're like that sower. Now, the sower certainly in this parable speaks primarily of the Lord and him coming and sharing and speaking and preaching. Sowing the seed, giving, living. But it speaks about us as believers. For we have the seed of the word that we are to be giving out. When I think about the sower, I think about the word alert. It says there that a sower went forth to sow, and when he had sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. One thing for sure about a sower, he has to be alert to what he's doing. Now, he has little control of the seed once it's released. But one thing that sower does, as he is sowing, he is watching what he's doing. He is not just flippantly throwing, he is broadcasting. And even though once it leaves his hand, it pretty much is to the mercy of, we'll call it nature, he is alert to what he's doing. And I think that's exactly how it is with us. We are told to go out into the world. We are told, even though we may not be preachers, we are told to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. As we are going day by day, as we are giving, living, living this day by day, giving out the word day by day, sharing the gospel day by day, sowing the seed day by day. As we are living, we are giving. Hopefully, we're supposed to be. When I think about the sower, I think about the word alert. We need to be alert to that person God wants us to speak to. In fact, he says we're to tell everybody. But the spirit inside of us, that God part of us, enables us, alerts us to who we are especially to speak to. And as we go through our daily routine, we need to be very alert when that person comes our way, when we pass them in the hall, when we see them at the store, the doctor's office, or the mechanic shop. We are to be alert. We are to be aware of their presence. For the Holy Spirit will identify to us, there's one, speak to this person. And if he tells us to speak to them, I believe he's going to be working on their part too. Surely I'm not saying that everybody we talk to is going to get saved. And there'll be times that it seems like they're not listening at all, but the seed is being planted. Those times I heard Buddy Fox preach, I thought, mostly asleep. mostly thinking about, I wish he'd hush so we could leave. But there was seed being planted, even though I was not listening intently. So we as sowers, as we are giving, living, we need to be alert to those that God has us bump elbows with. I say again, everywhere we go is our field. The field for the believer, we as sowers, is the world. Once we walk out those doors, we walk into our field. Once you leave your house, you're walking into your field. And we are to sow alertly and carefully. Especially the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart about a particular person. You need to be ready for that moment, that opportunity. And as we are sowing, we need to recognize the condition of the people. I don't even remember where I was at. And I was in some public place the other day, and I was sitting there, and I intently, as I do so often, looked at people and saw them as sinners. I had no idea who was lost or saved, but in my mind, I realized probably most of them are heading to hell. And no matter what they look like or act like or talk like, it's important for all of us to realize the need to share Christ, to sow the seed to anybody we can. When I think about a sower, I think about the word alert, being alert to those who we come in contact with every day. We need to see them as hopeless and lost and headed to hell. Paul said, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. He was so burdened about his, in this particular case, his fellow Jews who were lost, that he said, if I going to hell would save them, I would be willing to go to hell. Now, I'm telling you, I don't have that burden, but I do know this. I need more of a burden than I do. I need more of a concern than I have. And I want us all tonight to ask God to break our heart and see the people around us as lost and going to hell and see what difference there could be when they get saved. Oh, you may think they're a hopeless case, but there are no hopeless cases with God. If anybody was a hopeless case, I was. But I tell you what, God got through my old hard heart and messed up brain. I'm talking about giving, living. Giving out as we live our life day by day. When I think about the sower, I think about the word alert. When I think about the seed, I think about the word able. Look in verse 4. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And he explained how some of them the soil did not receive. But if we look on ahead, we find that some did bear, some did come up, and some even a hundredfold. There's power in the seed. There's life in the seed. That plant, that vegetable, that grain that comes up, it does not come up because of the sower. All the sower did was give it out. The seed becomes a plant, which becomes some fruit, which becomes a meal on the table, because the power of life is in the seed itself. When I think about the seed, I think of the word able. It is able, listen to this, it is able to bring forth life. And we know that this Bible is the seed. And the gospel message is the seed that we are to sow daily, that we are to be giving out. And in the seed of the gospel, there is power. Power to convict, power to save, power to convert. The Bible says that we are born again by the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The gospel message that saved you, by the way, can save others. When I think about the seed, I think of the word able. It is able to do what you can't do. Now, you may try to persuade You may fuss, you may beg, you may argue, you may try to manipulate, you may do everything you can to try to convince that person to make a profession. In vain, useless, it'll go over their head. Oh, but if the Word of God will get in their heart and bring forth life, there'll be a difference. There's a power in the Word. One thing, I know for sure I am not a salesperson. I have been on the wrong end of too many deals to think for one second that I can sell anything. But I do know this. A good salesperson must believe in their product. They must believe what they have is good. They must believe what they have someone else needs. And that will help them in the process of selling. And so it is with our product. We must believe that the Word of God, the gospel, can do the job. We don't have to force. We don't have to trick. We don't have to manipulate. In fact, what we'll do by trying that is mess up the work of the Holy Spirit. When I think about the seed, I think about the word able. It is able to birth people. It is able to convict people. It'll open their eyes and touch their hearts. Got a question? Isn't that what happened to you? The Word of God touched your heart. You may have been like so many, wasn't even thinking about getting saved when you went to church that night or got up that morning. But the Holy Spirit with the Word of God and the gospel penetrated your heart and turned your thoughts around and drew you to Christ. That's what the Word of God would do. And that's why we need to use the gospel in our giving living. We need to share the seed. That means I got to know the gospel. I have to know what I have to say if I'm expecting to see life. If I'm to sow and bring forth life, I must know what the seed is. That means we need to study this Bible enough to know the gospel, the simple plan of salvation, have it in our hearts, in our minds, where we can anytime, anywhere, with anybody, share the gospel. You've heard enough from this pulpit through the years to be able to do that. If you're not sure about it, you can find it on the internet. You can find it in our reserve of messages back there. You can find how to share the gospel. Be careful in looking, though. I'm talking about when I think about the seed, I think about the word able. It is able to touch hearts. It's the gospel that tells that person that they're a sinner, that Jesus died for them, that he loves them, and he'll save them. I thought also part of that seed, even though it's separate from the gospel, it's connected. A good way to witness is use your testimony. That's what Paul did in Acts. Tell people what God did for you. You may not feel comfortable with presenting the gospel. By the way, you ought to pray and study to where you get comfortable. But you may not feel comfortable, or it may just not be a time where you can present the gospel clearly. Tell them what God did for you. I love to give my testimony to lost people. It touches their heart sometime. It helps them know that what they need is what I have. Tell your testimony. Don't be afraid to share the gospel. Don't be afraid to share your testimony. And by the way, if you are afraid, do it anyway. I say often, do it afraid if you have to, but do it. I don't know that I've ever, well, I guess I need to reword that before I say it. I started to say I don't think I've ever witnessed when I wasn't afraid, but there have been times that God gave me such grace, there was no fear at all. But I'll tell you what, most of the time, I'm fearful. I'm wondering what they're going to think, what they're going to think about me, if I'm going to mess up. But remember, the Word of God and the Spirit of God is able to help you and then also to convict them. Now, there'll be some that don't want it, but there'll be some that does. Some rejected this seed, but some accepted it.
When I think about the sower, I think about the word alert. When I think about the seed, I think about the word able. When I think about the soul, I think about the word adapt. Now that may sound strange, but it's exactly what I mean. Verse 4 and the following verses tell us that the seed fell on different types of soil. And the different types of soil had different results in the receiving or rejecting of the seed and the growth or the lack thereof of the harvest. So when I think about the soil, I think about the hearts and the heads and the minds of the people that we talk to. Whether they receive the word or not. The different soils in this parable, there was hard soil, stony soil, thorn soil, and soft soil. So I thought about this. We need to adapt our witness to the type of soul we're witnessing to. Now, I'm not suggesting for a second that we change the message. The gospel is the power that gets them converted, convicted. The truth of Scripture is what has the power to deal with their hearts and bring them to salvation. But I am very much aware that each person will receive the gospel in different ways. That's exactly what the parable says. Different souls, different ways of receiving or rejecting the seed. So when I think about the soul, I think about the word adapt. In other words, our way of delivery. For instance, I was raised in church, but I got out of church and became a drug addict. So I have ways of giving my testimony to those. If I find out somebody is in church, but it's very clear that they're counting on their church membership to get them to heaven, I can use my testimony to say, you know, I was raised in church, and I used to believe that being a good little boy would get me to heaven, but then I found out the Bible says, and going to the gospel. Or I can also, if I find somebody that they may be in drugs or they're living in the depths of sin, I can also use my testimony and say, you know what? I also was in sin. And boy, I loved what I was doing, but I found out one day I did not have peace. I found out I was searching for peace the whole time, and then one day I found peace, and I went into the gospel. So I can use either way, a churchgoer that's lost, or a rotten sinner that's lost, but I will never cross over. If that person's going to church, but obviously lost, it would be unwise for me to say, you know, I was a dirty, rotten sinner, I was a drug addict, boy, I was bad, I was lost, because they don't identify with that. They would say in their mind, yeah, but I ain't like you. I didn't live like that. I don't need what you've got. So adapt. Try to find out what kind of person they are if you can. Now, sometimes you can't. You can't do this if you pass somebody in the elevator. Sometimes all you can do is give them a tract. But you try to find out what kind of soul they are by asking questions. Where are you from? And ask these kind of questions. What do you believe about this world? Where do you think all this stuff came from? What do you think about sin? And what do you think about forgiveness? What do you believe? Ask them questions to open up the gospel. Get the conversation going and heading toward the gospel. And then find out what kind of person they are and try to adapt your witness to fit their particular situation. I use this thought again. When I think about the soul, I think about the word adapt. So in closing, and you know that doesn't mean much, we should witness living every day, sharing, giving like that sower, giving out as we live life, living. How do we witness? Number one, we witness with our love. Love them. You may not even know them, but love their soul. Realize they're an eternal soul going to heaven or hell. And what you say this time while you're seeing and talking to them may make a vast eternal difference. Recognize they are going to hell if they don't get saved. We witness with our love, we care. I mean by that also, be nice. Don't argue. We could win an argument but lose the soul. Don't let yourself be drawn into an argument. Don't come up with some kind of disagreement over some ball team, or for sure don't mention politics nowadays. It'll get you distracted. We witness with our love. We really should care for them. We should act like, not just act like, but show them we care by how we talk with them and how we open our heart to them. One thing for sure, if they don't like us, they're not going to like our God. If we do something to turn them against us, oh, we're turning them against our God. Be careful how you talk to people, strangers or friends or whatever. We should witness, we do witness with our love. We witness with our love, we witness with our looks. In Genesis 38:15, here's what the Bible says. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be an harlot. Now, when Judah saw Tamar, he thought she was a harlot because she was dressed like a harlot. She looked like a harlot. He thought she was one. And that tells me something. Our appearance matters. What we look like, people will think we are. And if we dress like the world and act like the world and talk like the world, we're not going to reach the world. We witness by our looks. 1 Corinthians 16:20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify your God, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So many are interested in comfort so much that they overlook the appearance and the influence and the opinion that people have of us. Now, I'm not saying we ought to go around with church clothes on all the time. I heard about a preacher years ago that went out in his field with a shirt and tie. Well, that's not necessary, I don't think. But I am saying this, how we look matters. Our styles, what we put on our bodies matters. Surely men or women should not let body parts be seen that should not be seen. Sadly, even in churches now, you see body parts that you shouldn't see. That's sad. But we witness by how we love and how we look. We witness also with our life. Oh, live right. Don't act like you're proud or you're holier than them. Remember, you were lost one time. I catch myself every once in a while looking at somebody maybe on the street, somebody really in sin doing dumb things, and I think, how ignorant. And then I think, yeah, but you used to be ignorant and you used to do that kind of thing. So I have to be careful. We witness with our life by living right, by doing right, by having the right attitude. Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We're to let our light shine by how we live. We used to be lost and we lived like it. But now we're saved, we ought to live like it. Philippians 2:15, Paul says, be blameless. That means that nobody can rightly accuse us of doing something wrong. Whoa. But that's a part of our witness. It says in Romans 13:13, let us walk honestly. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We witness by our life.
All this means that we're right with God, we walk close to Him, and lost people see it. And then we also witness not only by our love and our looks and our life, but we witness by our lips or with our lips, by speaking. Oh, our testimony in living right around people and letting our light shine is vitally important, but there needs to be more. They may just see somebody that they think's a good person or a nice person or a kind-hearted person or a selfless person, and they may just think, well, that's a good person and that's all. But our lips will tell them, it's not me, it's Jesus. I'm not the one, He's the one. He's the one that made the difference. Our lips will tell them they need the Lord. Romans 10:14, how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? The next verse says, how shall they hear without a preacher or someone to tell them? We witness with our lips. We should tell them. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We need to be ready to talk. We need to be ready to tell. We need to be ready to share, to give the seed wherever we're at. It says that they believe. Ask somebody, what do you believe about life after death? I mentioned this already. What do you believe about where did all this universe come from? Or what do you believe about getting to heaven? Or what do you believe? And open the conversation with your lips, with words, with questions. And then when they answer, listen. Listen to what they say, because what they tell you, what they say is important, because they may tell you, my goodness, yeah, I believe in that. I am saved. I thank the Lord. And you understand that. I talked with a lady one day this week and started like you usually, get the conversation going in the business. She's sitting there. Where are you from? Where are you from? Thomasville. And she's from High Point, but she's from Rutherfordton. I can hardly say that. And just opened the conversation. And then I asked her, I said, have you ever trusted the Lord? Are you saved? Are you a believer? And she said, oh, yeah. She said, when we moved to High Point, I went to the church when I was 7 years old, and I joined the church. And she was talking about all the church and all that stuff. Well, that sounded commendable. But to me, that wasn't enough to convince me that she was saved. So I let her talk a little bit. And I said something else. And then I asked her, I said, have you ever accepted the Lord as your personal Savior? And she got a little bit abrupt. Not really, but she said, I told you that I got saved when I was 7 years old. And I could tell after she kept talking, I really believe she was saved. But I was listening to her. I was listening to what she said. And it's so important that we listen. We can start the conversation with anything almost, as long as we're careful to not pick a hot topic like, do you like Trump? Oh, my. But turn it to the gospel. What do you believe? What about this world? What about salvation? What about how do you go to heaven? And then watch them, watch their eyes, watch their response, their reaction, listen to the tone of their voice. And then as I close, be ready to draw the net. Don't be afraid to lead them to the Lord right then if it's clearly God working on their hearts. Now that's the tricky part, the sensitive part, I'll use the word scary part, but it's the good part. I usually say something like this: have you come to the point to where you think you're ready to accept the Lord as your personal Savior and be saved? Have you come to, and that is saying, are you ready right now? And listen to what they say. And if they say yes, lead them, and you just say, now I can't pray for you. I can pray with you, but you're going to have to pray. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if he's speaking to you and you want him to save you, if you'll ask him, he said he would save you. And then say in your own words, I want you to pray. You just ask God to forgive you. Let him know you know you're a sinner. And call on God right now in your own words. And let them pray. And say, I'm going to be praying with you while you pray. And I say always, I'm going to pray with you while you're praying. And when I get through praying, I'll speak to you again. And we talk more. Now, if they clearly are not under conviction, don't push it. I have been with people, honestly. If I had been that person they were witnessing to, I would have faked a conversion just to get them to hush. I mean, it was horrible, horrible. No conviction, clearly no conviction. But that wasn't good enough for them. So draw the net. I'm talking tonight about giving, living. Giving the gospel as we live our lives, day by day. If every believer would do that, no church would ever need a visitation program. They would never have to go out and knock on doors, even though I would still recommend that. If we as believers, as we go out living our lives, would daily witness, there's no telling what God might do. I do know this. Someone will be saved. You will be blessed. And this church might just get some help. Because if they end up coming here, we need new life. We need new people. We got people dying out. We got people dying. We got people sick that can't come. And the life of this church and every church is in new blood, new life. And it comes by cause we go out and tell. I encourage us to do that. Ask God to give you boldness, courage. I pray for two things, boldness and a burden. Let's stand together.